Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to episode number 65 of the Self-Help Podcast with me and Sean. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm doing very well. I don't understand this, but every time you turn the microphone on and you start, it makes me laugh.
Giggle, you're like a little schoolgirl, aren't you?
I am.
Patrick, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm very good.
We're talking about food this week, aren't we?
Yeah,
food, mood, shape, body shape, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and the way that we feel about ourselves.
Indeed.
Yeah.
They are linked heavily, aren't they?
Yep.
And there'll be a blog post about this as well, or there is, on the website, liveinthepresent.co.uk. I mention it every week, and I'm going to keep on mentioning it, because that's where we want you to go.
Yeah.
You might be there right now, maybe this is where you listen to it. There's lots of cool stuff there, isn't there?
Yeah, that's good. Yep. Come and see us.
Do drop by and learn all about us, and drop us a message on Twitter as well, you know. We're a chatty couple of guys, aren't
we? Yeah, it's nice when people email in and we get a dialogue going.
So. Yeah. It's good fun, isn't it? Interesting. What have you been up to, Sean? How's tricks?
Very, very good. I'm still doing the running.
You hit the wall, I see.
Yeah. I had an exciting experience because I just tried to go for a half marathon run, just an informal half marathon.
As you do.
And it was pouring with rain. I got drenched and I hadn't fueled up properly. And at 10 miles, I hit the wall and got a bit of hypothermia.
Blimey.
Which was interesting because body didn't work for a while and... vision gone, all that kind of stuff.
Really?
It took me about 4 hours to come back again. It was quite weird.
Were you like rescued by helicopter or something like that?
No, I wobbled home. It was 2K home, so I wobbled up like a drunkard the road. But my vision was bouncing all over the place. It was quite interesting.
Did anyone come to your rescue? Like this old guy on the side of the road looking...
No one. I just wobbled up the road. Yeah. They probably thought, God, he's drunk. He's only wearing a pair of shorts and a T-shirt.
You made it back then.
Yeah, no, it's good. It was actually a good experience because it's one of the things about learning. You know, people say about when you hit the wall, I know what they mean now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just a concept before that. But actually having done that...
And you think you'll be able to know before you get to the wall next
time? Yeah. But I've since then, I've actually run a proper half marathon, 14 mile. But I fueled up properly and was properly dressed. And it did actually rain as well. But it was okay, I was all right.
There's an Arctic wind about at the moment. Be careful.
It is cold, yeah.
Got a bit chilly on it. I'm just back from me holes.
Yeah, was it good?
Yeah, it was cool. Back from Northumberland again. It's a proper little holiday that we were.
Yeah. You have to not say it too loudly, else people are going to come.
I know, yeah. You don't want to go. You wouldn't like it. It's not for you. No, we were like, yeah. We had good weather, actually, and just chucking stones in rock pools and playing on the beach. We had a kite, so it was a proper holiday. It's not a holiday without a kite, right?
No. I carry a kite in the back of the car.
It's true,
I do. Yeah.
Why?
Because years ago, Ray and I went on to a hotel down in Dorset, and we ordered a picnic, and with the picnic came all this stuff to take for your picnic, and one of it was a kite. So I always carry a kite in the back of the car.
You've got to have a kite on you, yeah. Flip the neck. I had 2 weeks without electricity, or without a reliable source of electricity, which is quite cool.
That's good.
Staying in our...
Going back to basics.
Back to basics in a caravan, candles at night and all that.
Yeah.
It's good, man, it's good. But I did juice up my laptop every now and again at my auntie's. She lives up the road. And actually, a little bit of podcast trivia. Yeah, the last couple of weeks, podcasts, I've been uploading them via a little... I found a bit of Wi-Fi at the end of the field we were staying in. I was sitting on this... broken old bench uploading the podcast and getting the email out to all our subscribers. So
amazing.
I go to, to get this show out on the air.
You're just a real pro. That's what it is.
Let's dive into this week's show. We had an email from a listener that I shall not name. It was a short and sharp email. When people sign up to get our free meditation files and all that toolkit stuff, there's an email that gets bounced out, which basically asks for a bit of feedback. And every now and again, we get a nice bit of feedback. And this person basically said that, because the email asks what the kind of one thing that's hindering them at the moment might be. And we use that to kind of use for future shows in the podcast. And this person said, being overweight hinders me at every turn. I know a lot of it is in my head, but it seems to be the one thing that stops me from doing so many things. So thanks for the email, dear listener. And we're going to try and talk about that for the next half an hour or so.
Yeah, I guess the first thing I want to grab on that is that idea that it's in my head. Is it that the fact that she's overweight is in her head, or is it that the concept of being overweight is in her head?
Well, you
know? I mean, one of the things about working with people with anorexia is they very often see themselves as huge when everyone else is seeing them as very...
I have a... I won't say I was a friend, family, whatever. It's someone I know that thinks she's overweight. She's always putting stuff online about how overweight she is, and she's not, man. She's, like, super slim.
Yeah.
I don't think she's anorexic or anything like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, overweight is a bit of a grey area, isn't it, to start with?
Yeah, but I go with that idea that weight, whether it's underweight or overweight or normal, whatever normal is in your head. It is because we're expressing ourselves through our body.
I mean,
when you look at someone's body, what you're doing is you're seeing everything they've done with their body over the last few years up to the present moment.
So all these wrinkles and bags under my eyes, that's all the hard work I've been putting in. People never think I work hard. I work hard. I'm like a duck. I'm calm on the surface. I'm paddling away underneath.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I believe you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, technically, to be obese or overweight now, there is a line, isn't there? Like the body mass index. Apparently, according to one article, which I'll put in the show notes, there's a billion people in the developing world that are overweight or obese. Right.
Yeah, which is a bit scary.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it was, I haven't got the UK stats, but is it a quarter or a third of every adult in the UK is overweight? And a lot of those people you will see, maybe you or I technically are overweight, you know?
If you look at the rule of thumb that most doctors use now, it's that if the largest part of your gut is more than half your height, then you're in the danger zone.
I'm trying to work that out.
So as long as the largest part of your gut is less than half your height, then you're out of the diabetes range and stuff like that. When you start to get over that, then you're moving into diabetes and problems.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of rule of thumb.
Yeah, I think the recent stuff I saw was kind of, for a man, if your waist's over 38 inches. Maybe.
Yeah, but it depends on your height.
Well, yeah, and that's why I didn't mention any of that stuff, which is why it's all a bit kind of up in the air, isn't it?
Yeah.
But for the person that's emailed us in, I'm assuming they're probably not going by the government statistics. They're just looking in the mirror and thinking, I don't like what's looking back.
Maybe. I mean, one of the things, I've mentioned it before on a podcast, but it's worth mentioning again, is what in psychospeak these days we call the carbohydrate cycle. Because we know that when you eat carbohydrates, it makes your brain secrete serotonin. So it's like having antidepressants.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone is feeling a bit down and cheesed off, they may go and belt the carbohydrates to get a burst of endorphins. So they're self-medicating.
Sure. Yeah?
But the problem is you feel down, so you belt the carbs and then you put the weight on. And then you look in the mirror, and when you see yourself in the mirror, you feel bad. So you go and belt more carbs to feel better. So you start getting into this cycle. And I think that a lot of weight. And another thing that I've said before that I'll say again is that Britain is supposed to be the heaviest country in Europe now. And to me, that isn't so much a dietary issue, I suspect, is what I've just said, that we're actually the most depressed country in Europe and people are self-medicating with carbs. That's what I suspect is going on, but we'd need to have some evidence around that too. Make it categorical.
We would, yeah. I'm looking forward to a big bowl of pasta for dinner tonight, actually, so maybe that's not such a great idea.
I don't know, you're a slim Jim, though, aren't you?
I am. I'm one of those fortunate guys, you know. I've never been, I'm 5'6" on a good day, five and a half.
You breathe enough, do
you? But I've never been over 9 stone. I'm quite a slight little chap.
Yeah.
But then I did get a bit of a shock a year and a half ago when I went for a blood test and found out I've got quite high cholesterol.
Yep.
I just had a check 2 weeks ago and I actually got a call from the doctor when I was on holiday. It's funny that the secretary's phone up and they put she basically said, you need to phone the doctor.
So you're going panic.
Yeah, but they did that last time and I said, oh, can you give me the number, please, the cholesterol number? Thinking, yeah, okay, I know, I'm onto you, I know that this last time. And she said, yeah, it's 5.7. So she was getting me all panicked, but it was actually 5.8 6 months ago, so it's come down.
It's coming down.
It's in the right area.
Yeah.
And it was at 6.8 6 months before that.
All right.
So I'm doing all right. So yeah. I was like, all right, I'll call when I'm back. Chill out. but yeah, no, even a guy like me, you know, relatively healthy-looking guy, I've got stuff going on.
Yeah.
Which does kind of get you worried, doesn't it?
It's good to know your body, though. Mm. One of the biggest things that's come up recently, and you can Google this like crazy, is the issues about vitamin D.
Yeah.
Because most people, as you come north of the equator, start to become vitamin D deficient. And unless they're compensating with huge amounts of fish and cod liver oil and stuff, then they need vitamin D supplements. And that's most people. You're talking about sort of 70% of the Brits. And when you get people with darker skins, it gets even worse because they're not getting the vitamin D from the sunlight.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we now know that vitamin D is a precursor of all kinds of diseases and illnesses, or the lack of vitamin D. One of the things that becomes apparent is the ability of your body to lose weight is dependent on your level of vitamin D, because if you haven't got the right amount of vitamin D, your body will hang on to the weight to protect the bones.
Mm-hmm.
There's a mechanism there. There's also an issue. We talk about SAD syndrome, where people get down in the winter. We now know that vitamin D is the precursor of serotonin in the brain, so that you need the sunlight or vitamin D level to get your mood level up.
Yeah, no, it was actually, yeah. We mentioned that last week. We did. Yeah. I said episode 3 of our podcast was sunlight, but it was actually the first ever show we did.
It was, yeah.
It was about sunlight.
Yeah.
So, yeah, scroll back through the archives and have a look.
Yeah.
Bringing it back onto kind of the psychological effects of, if a person's overweight or they think they are, and they come to you for help and that's part of the issue they're having, are you trying to help them lose the weight, or are you trying to convince them to be happy with what they've got?
I think that the issue is I'm enabling them to be what they need to be, is the first thing. The second thing would be that to be comfortable with being overweight isn't a good place to be on lots of levels, whether we're talking about physiologically or psychologically. And that if you think about being overweight in terms of things like diabetes or the fact that it has on your joints and cardiovascular system,
yep.
It can never be good to be overweight. You know,
do you say that? Are you allowed to say that, or do you kind of drop little hints?
No, I will actually talk about it openly. You know, we'll talk about it. If you look at fat as an issue, especially if you look at Ayurvedic, the Eastern model that I was trained in, first of all, there's three kinds of fat that are identified, which is white, yellow, and brown.
Mm-hmm.
And white fat is very puffy and soft, like a duvet, and is much more kind of, it's like hiding behind the duvet, emotionally, mm-hmm. That's the way it's seen. Yeah? Yellow fat is a bit tighter and it's high level of insulation. But when you get to brown fat, that's seen as armour. Like you're actually keeping things out.
Right.
Yeah. Emotionally, we're talking about here. Many years ago, when I was playing and being a builder, I dropped a thing called a carborundum cutter, which is like a big spinning disc that cuts stones. I dropped it on my leg whilst it was spinning, which was fun.
Oops.
And ripped the top of my leg open.
Uh-huh.
And when I was in the hospital, having my trousers pulled out from inside my leg, which was quite interesting experience, and I was watching because I was always fascinated, and the colour of the fat inside my leg was bright yellow.
Wow.
Yeah, which was quite shocking. It's in the
which one was the yellow one again?
It's that middle fat, which is highly insulative, but isn't so protective. It's not that soft, pushy stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's when you look inside bodies and you can see the different colours of fat, because you think about fat as being white and actually it isn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can be different depending on what's going on.
Yeah, we're not advising anyone out there to go and just slice it open or anything.
Get another look at your fat.
Yeah, get inside. A biopsy. You could get a biopsy done, I guess, but don't do it yourself.
Yeah. But I suppose it comes down to, do we as a society see ourselves as big or not? And certainly in some parts of the world, I mean, I've been in parts of the States where I've seen some pretty big people just getting on and being ordinary and getting on with their lives, you know. And other places you're going, people are amazingly thin.
Yep.
I worked for a while with an international drug company when they created a lipase inhibitor, which meant that if you take the medication, whatever you ate, you would not absorb any of the fat.
Right.
And that meant that if while you were on the medication and you did eat fats, they would go right through your system and come out your backside like olive oil. You know, it was mm-hmm. quite unpleasant. And there were some pretty big people on that program. The biggest people I worked with were over 30 stone, some 37 stone. Yeah, and there's an issue for me, as you get into those very, very big weights, as to how do you get there. There was a program recently on, I think it was a Horizon documentary about a guy, a British guy, who had hit 70 stone, which is big, very, very big. And the guy couldn't move. I mean, he was trapped in a bed. Mm. He managed to get down to 45 stone when they were going to do gastric surgery to shorten his stomach. But about 3 months after that, the guy passed away, he died. But the thing that struck me about watching that was that there was a point where he couldn't get out of the chair, that he was eating so much food he couldn't get up and get it, which meant that other people had to get it for him. And those people that got the food for him, the way I view it, is that they were culpable in some kind of abuse situation.
Mm.
Because naturally, in a natural environment, anybody who got to the point where they couldn't move enough to get their own food would die.
Yeah.
Yeah? And we're actually feeding people in situations like that, which is phenomenally wrong on every level. I can't find a level that it's okay.
Well, there are a lot of TV shows about that now, aren't they? We kind of voyeuristically say us skinny people. watch these shows and kind of ironically sitting on our sofas eating popcorn or drinking our nice sugary drinks.
Yeah.
Watching these super fat people having holes cut in the sides of the houses to have to get lifted out and all that. Which it's not fun watching, but the easy thing is just kind of mock them a little bit, isn't there? But what point do those people that are morbidly obese, I guess is the term, isn't it? Well, because the whole reason there's a push in the NHS at the moment to cut out obesity and kind of get rid of sugar from our diets is because it's costing the NHS a lot of money.
Yeah.
Isn't it? So,
yeah, it is. But it's costing us a lot of lives too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, for me, I always go back to the example of we're actually built to be hunter-gatherers, which means that we're mobile and moving. And we've adopted these lifestyles where we're sedentary a lot of the time.
Yeah, well, I read something about that recently, about the history of all that and how we kind of learned to cultivate crops, wheat crops, and that kind of meant that we didn't need to move around all that much. All of a sudden,
yeah, so
that was the kick. That was the kickstart for the obesity revolution and all that. It's really interesting, actually.
But most people would have been moving for most of the day, doing things, and we don't do that anymore. Therefore, we have all kinds of weight issues that come from that.
Yeah,
and all the issues about exercise and what are we doing? It's like a bank account. If you put more money in than you take out, the balance builds up. Or if you put more calories in your body than you take out, then the balance builds up. It's a straight transaction, you know. And if you get too much weight, then you start to earn interest on it and you get even bigger.
Yeah.
And in that sense, each of us has to be responsible for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I started doing the running thing, which I keep going on about, last September, or September last year, and I've lost 4 inches off my gut. Yeah. And come down 2.5 stone.
Nice.
And I'm at...
You're fighting weight now.
I'm at my fighting weight now. I'm a sparring partner. Yeah. I mean, and if I feel good for it. I've come down a dress size. I'm
good lad.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. And I'm probably fitter now than I've been for maybe 10, 15 years, which is good. But each of us have to take a responsibility for where we are.
Yeah. I mean, there comes a point where, you tell me, man, when a person needs to kind of get off their ass. And there is a book called Get Off Your Ass.
Is there?
It's a business-related book.
All right.
But it's just like, you stop making excuses and get on with it.
Yeah.
Which I know, flipping Ed, I'm probably going to get some emails from that. It's easy for me to say. But is that, does there come a point when that... I know you need to be sensitive, obviously, to some people's...
It's the wake-up point, isn't it? At what point do we wake up and think, I need to do something about this? Well, doing something about it can be difficult. Working with Conrad, who's our motivational trainer, coach guy... one of the things that is very real is that if you get someone who's very big, they need to develop muscle to be able to metabolise the fat. You can't just say, OK, go and do loads of exercise. So he does lots of quite subtle work with people, developing the muscle so they can then use the muscle to burn the fat.
Yeah. Takes time to turn it around.
And you're looking at something that might take you a year or even 2 years to turn around. Now, that's a hell of a commitment. And some people might say, well, I'm not doing that. Yeah, but it's choice time, isn't it?
Yeah.
if you want to live long and healthy, then you've got to do something about it.
That's what it comes to. How long do you want to live for, man?
Yeah.
It depends, I guess, how much you're enjoying your life.
There's a programme, again, worth looking at. It was a Horizon, BBC Horizon documentary that came out last week, which was about meat eating. It was Michael Mosley, who's a doctor, and he is talking about red meats and are they safe, aren't they safe to eat? Mm. Looking at cancers and bowel cancers, polyps.
They made them out, yeah, because it keeps...
But he does come to some conclusions, but what they've done in the research program, some of them are quite big. I mean, you're talking about like 500,000 people over 30 years kind of stuff. But some of these guys that were doing the research were coming up with a statistic like every bacon sandwich you eat takes an hour off your life, which is like, wow, that's a hell of a statement to make. But that's what they see in the statistics.
Can you get it back there? Together. Can you figure out if you... Surely.
I guess that...
We're living longer than ever, aren't we, generally?
Yep.
So... but it's how long do we want to live? That's kind of an interesting question for me.
Well, we're looking at most of us getting into the 90s and the 100s.
Mm-hmm.
So it's there.
And you can do it, I think, in a good state of body and mind, can't you, as well? It's not like you're just going to be sitting in a chair staring out of a window.
We know a lot about bodies now. Don't we? We know a lot about bodies, we know a lot about nutrition, we know a lot about health. Yeah, and yet we live in a crazy world where a percentage of the world is obese, is big, and a percentage of the world is starving to death. And yet there's enough food for everybody, but we're too silly as human beings to share it between us. There should be nobody starving on this planet, and yet that's exactly what
we're doing. Well, a billion people obese? I'm assuming it's probably not. Probably kind of maybe a billion-ish are undernourished.
I don't know. That's an interesting statistic to look at, isn't it?
I remember as a kid, I used to get... sarky with my parents, when I wouldn't finish my dinner. And I'd be like, yeah, be quiet, Mum, why don't you put it in a... Well, because my mum would say, I don't know if she did, maybe other mums, or just would say, oh, well, there's kids starving in Africa.
We'll send it to them.
And I would say, yeah, we'll put it in an envelope and send it to them. Yeah. Sarky teenage Ed. But, we can't quite do that, but we could help them out in other ways.
I mean, one of the things, before we went on air, we were talking about stuff, and you were talking about going to the swimming pool and seeing children that were overweight.
Well, yeah, I know. We had one rainy day when we were away on our holes, and we went to a swimming bath nearby. Good fun with a real man kicking around and chucking him underwater and watching him splutter and splash. You can't swim yet, but you had fun. Yeah, but I can kind of deal with the overweight. All the guys, because they're responsible for themselves, but it's when you see a kid kind of 6, 7, 8 years old, massively overweight, we saw a few of them, it's like, oh man. And you talked about it, whether is that tantamount to kind of child abuse?
I think that we're in there, because what we're doing is we're teaching the child's body to need that amount of fats and sugars and whatever, which is building those habits in for the future.
I'm just chuckling because I came here with William, didn't I? And Ree's taking him off to get an ice cream.
So, it'll be a healthy ice cream.
he'll run it off later. I'll run him.
Yeah, I think, one of the things on the Michael Mosley thing was what he was saying was that it's okay having a certain amount of saturated fats as long as you go and do other things as well. Yeah. And one of the things that they showed was that, because he went on a diet, which was a heavy meat diet, over a month, and you could see the increase in blood pressure, the increase in cholesterol and all those kind of things, the way it affected his system. But one of the effects that they were saying was it wasn't as extreme as they had expected, and that was because he eats such a high level of fruits and vegetables.
Yep.
And they were saying that was actually counteracting the amount of negative effects of the meat.
You'll get there's so much advice out there now online and stuff. A lot of it kind of goes against the other. In many ways, there's so much advice, whether how much water you should drink, whether you should have dairy or not. I know you're a big anti-dairy guy. Whether the red meat's good or bad for you, I know that's a bit of a talking point at the moment too. But we talk a lot on this show about surrounding yourself with people that get you in the right frame of mind.
Yeah.
And changing your body shape is... There are easy ways to do that in terms of going to the gym or maybe having it. Everyone seems to be a personal trainer these days. It's like personal trainers coming out your ears. Everyone's a personal trainer, aren't they? There's hundreds of them. Conrad's your go-to guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
But there'll be there's always, if you drive past a park and you see a boot camp going on,
yep,
which is quite a trendy thing to do now. Stop your car if you're having trouble, or you're thinking you're not happy with your shape, and go and get a business card, hey, and get involved.
But that's it, isn't it? The fact that people are out and they're doing it is a good thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, it's cool.
Yeah. And may it continue.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Interesting for me, we go and do the Hour of Power.
Yeah.
Which is worth Googling as well. And look at that. So that's amazing. And the Hour and Power and Metafit programs are, you're talking about taking up an hour, and maybe you do that a couple of times a week, and it can have such a phenomenal effect on your system. And yet, how many hours do we sit around doing negative things? And we'd say, oh, I haven't got an hour to go and do some exercise.
Yep. Yeah.
But we have. It's how do we prioritise? And
indeed. Yeah, there's no real excuses now. That, I mean, even if you haven't, you live in the middle of nowhere and you haven't got a personal trainer nearby in a park with a tractor tyre to chuck around and all that stuff. You're listening to this, so you've obviously got the internet, so YouTube is an amazing resource for exercise routines and, you know, the old-fashioned style DVD where you'd be dancing along with Davina McCall.
Yeah.
That's all online for free.
But get yourself an app, stick an app on your phone, Catch mm-hmm. 5K.
Apps galore, yeah.
There's loads of stuff there.
Yeah, I use RunKeeper to track, I did it to track my mountain biking recently.
Mm-hmm.
So you can start to track your progress and all that stuff.
Yep.
I like all that side of things in terms of kind of seeing your progress and
tracking
how many calories you've burnt and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool. It's
kind of challenging myself. So yeah, no excuses, hey?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that we have to be responsible for ourselves, especially in Britain, where the welfare state is closing down. And the NHS isn't going to be what it was,
mm-hmm.
you know, and however long it lasts for free at the point of delivery, anybody that's on any kind of waiting list to do anything with the NHS will know the kind of pressure it's under. Yeah. And the healthier we keep ourselves, the less we're going to be on those waiting lists
mm-hmm.
to do things. So there is a good payoff in it for all of us.
Do some research into blue zones as well. We've talked about those on many occasions. Yeah. We need to get like a blue zone expert on this show to discuss, I think, because fascinating.
Yeah.
But for those that don't know, there's these little pockets, communities in the world that live seemingly unnaturally long lives and healthy lives.
Yeah. And that's, it's the why, isn't it?
It's quite, the obvious whys are people, there's no concept of retirement, so people just kind of work and work, but not till they kill themselves, you know, the work is in retirement age, is kind of as a grandparent or to,
yep.
taking things here and there. They all keep...
But they don't become sedentary.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a lot in that.
Keep moving.
There's a lot in that, yeah. Keep moving.
Yep.
Yeah. And I'm going to keep moving. Yeah.
Literally as we finished our mountain biking in Scotland a few weeks ago, we were waiting to be picked up by Ewan's sister who was coming to get us and take us back to get the car and all that. And there was a guy sitting in a deck chair that he got out of his car. He must have been, I reckon he was probably about 75 actually, but he looked 65, but you could just tell he was a bit older. Amazing tan, he was just in his shorts, bronzed, he looked so cool. And I got chatting to him, Scottish guy, and it turned out he'd cycled all the routes that I'd done and he knew all about it and he was like, oh, fantastic. And I told him we'd pushed our bikes up to the top of this mountain and he was quite impressed. But he was still biking and
he didn't say he'd cycled up to the top of that mountain.
No, he didn't actually. No, he didn't, so I think I've trumped in there. But he was still on his bike, beasting it around all the local tracks, and he had his bike there, and he's obviously just been for a ride.
Yeah.
And he was 70, 75, man, and he was in tip-top shape.
Yeah, we have a love affair with cars, don't we? Before cars, people walked, cycled.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. And we get less and less mobile, we do something about it, yeah.
Bike more. I'm a big advocate for cycling.
They did a thing in the local hospitals here where they gave all the staff pedometers.
Mm, okay.
So you could start to look at how many steps, and they were reckoning you need to do like 10,000 steps a day.
That's the number, isn't it? That's the magic number.
Yeah, and if you can get up to that, and just having a simple, you can put a pedometer on your phone.
That kind of quantified self is the geeky term that they're coining in San Francisco is going to, in the next 10 years, going to cause quite a revolution, I reckon, in terms of these clever little phones that we have in our pockets.
Yeah.
We'll be able to track a lot of things, not just your steps, but things like blood level and sugar and all that.
Yeah.
On the go.
There are apps, not in this country, where you can check your own vitamin D levels by using a stab test.
So that's really interesting. That's going to be keep an eye on all that stuff. All right. Do you think we've covered?
Yeah, no, I'm cool. I'm good.
I hope we have. Yeah, to our listener.
Yeah, to our listener who did email in about that. If you want to come back and give us some more details, I'm sure there's some things that maybe we could do. Certainly, if you and I could email.
You're pointing at the screen.
I'm pointing at the screen. Yes, I'm assuming that the person's the other side of the screen. Hey,
waving. Hey, Sean's waving at you.
But it's to me, it's that thing about if we all look after each other, then we all get there.
Yeah,
it's good.
Okie dokie. Got resource of the week. Nearly forgot.
Yeah, mine is, I put a page in, which is an Amazon page, which has a series of books in, which starts off with a book which is simply called Food and Mood, because one of the realisations is that different foods create different moods. So we look at the serotonin levels, but there are other things that are going on that can affect you in all kinds of ways, socially, sexually, whatever, depending on what you eat. And they're quite interesting to read through and to look at your diet relative to those things, because you might be eating things that are actually depressing you, putting you down.
Yep. Some people are intolerant of food without really knowing about it, aren't they? To be honest, I've been putting it off for a long time. I need to try and go without kind of a wheat-free diet if I can. I'm just interested
It's the gluten.
I'm interested to know how it affect me, whether I have more energy and all that. I've got a feeling it probably would, actually.
There's a whole spectrum going from the glutens right into the celiac diseases that... different people are on. And also different yeast and different wheats. You know, spelt wheat is quite mild, but you get French wheat, American wheat, British wheat. They're all different varieties. And some people can eat some and not the others.
Okay. Resource for me. First up, Super Size Me documentary came out a few years ago. This American guy, Morgan Spurlock. Cool name, actually. But he lived off nothing but McDonald's for a month. With interesting results. Have a look at that. And also, I want to give a shout out to Wall-E. Wall-E, the Pixar movie from...
Yeah.
That's probably about 7 or 8 years ago now. One of my favourite movies. But that has kind of a interesting angle on how where humanity might end up if we keep eating more and doing less.
Yeah.
But it's just an amazing movie. I love that so much. Yeah, it's not just a movie for kids. I love Pixar films.
I actually have got it on my iTunes. I got it for the kids years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And it's still on. I should go back and watch it.
I might watch that tonight, actually. Been a while.
Yeah.
Cool. Alrighty. Next week, we're talking about suicide.
Yeah. It's the heavy one next week.
Yeah, when I was away, I'll take it, it was your idea, but Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Suicide, killed himself, didn't he?
Yeah.
Not cool. So we can talk about that. It doesn't sound too chirpy, but it's going to be an interesting one, eh?
Yeah. The value of life, maybe.
Yeah. That's a better way of looking at it.
Yeah.
I like that. All right. And in the meantime, visit our website, liveinthepresent.co.uk, for all the show notes and links to things we've just discussed. Lots of cool freebies, non-freebies as well. Share this show with a pal if you can. We want to keep getting this show as far afield as possible, because it's the people that do listen to it seem to be quite enjoying it, don't they?
So. Yeah, and that's good. Feedback's nice.
If you listen to this and you think you have a friend or someone you know that may respond well to it, find the link through.
Or if you don't like the podcast and you've got someone that you don't like, then give the link to them.
Even better. Cool. All right, Sean. I'll see you next week.
Yeah, you take care. Cheers.
Bye, everyone. See ya.
Bye.